In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, on Christmas Day, we reflected on how happy everyone seems to be at a human birth. And of course, the greatest joy and celebration is for the birth of Christ, the God-man himself, who took on a human nature, did not become two people, remained one person with two fully functioning natures, a divine nature and a human nature. And so great is the joy over the birth of our Lord that it has given rise to a greater celebration at this time of the year than it seems at any other. The sheer amount of music composed in honor of the birthday of Jesus just outshines all other genre or category of music. And then we know the celebration of lights and decorations. And this is all because to celebrate a birthday. But sad to say, in the course of human history, there have been those who have hated children, who have literally sacrificed children, who were not happy about their birth. And we read of the horrors of child sacrifice that have happened in the course of history, sacrificing children to false gods. One name that comes to mind is the false god Moloch. And this is just horrendous beyond description. How children, the most vulnerable, the most needy, the most innocent insofar as that they haven't committed any sins of their own, have been sacrificed. And this sacrificing of children exists today worse than ever, and it's focused on the unborn children. And it's legalized in practically, well, most countries of the world, the sacrificing of children who are seen as a problem, as an inconvenience, as something to be abhorred, and they are literally executed in the womb. There's not a false idol of Moloch that these children are being offered to, but it is the idol of selfishness, the idol of self-seeking, of just terrible, to put, again, the mother's desires ahead of the life of her child. The Catholic Church understands this great sin, and she tells all that not only is it the sin of murder, but it is also punished by excommunication. So the person is cut off from or anyone that has anything to do with an abortion is excommunicated. That is a church penalty that's attached to this sin. And again, the church does this to teach, you know, how important it is to respect the life of the child in the womb. And excommunication is a medicinal penalty, which means that as soon as the person is sorry, they are to be forgiven. The mother and anyone who helped make it happen, they are to be forgiven of the bond of excommunication and also to be forgiven, even more importantly, the sin. So our thoughts are somber today, as we reflect on those baby boys up to the age of two that were sacrificed. What were they sacrificed for? Because of the pride and corruption and self-centeredness of King Herod. He could not bear the thought of a rival to his throne. And yet, that baby, that divine baby, was no threat to him at all. That child was going to rule spiritually. So, as tragic as this occurrence was, the good that God brought out of it is it granted instant cleansing of original sin from those baby boys. Because they were put to death on account of Christ, they were martyrs and therefore had their ticket to heaven. It was no choice of theirs, obviously. But they are saints. So God is able to bring great good out of great tragedy. Our hearts go out, of course, not only to them, but to their mothers and their families, the unspeakable tragedy of that day. But again, let us be consoled by the fact that God gave them, again, these thrones in heaven, even though they didn't choose that. And by the way, another, it reminds me of the tragedy of abortion is not only that babies lose their lives, but they lose the chance to have their original sin washed from their soul so that they can go to heaven. They go to limbo. And we don't know exactly what God will do for all the souls in limbo, but what a deprivation that is. On this day of the Holy Innocents, I'm also reminded of the topic of the innocence of children. This is the most precious thing that we need to be aware of and help protect in children. We know children, as all do, all of us do, we have this fallen human nature. But there is that wonderful innocence of childhood that our Lord spoke of. He, as a matter of fact, he put a child before the apostles one day and he says, unless you become as like this child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So that's how much our Lord is upholding that precious innocence of childhood. And he also reminds us of the terrible consequence of scandal. He says, woe to them who shall scandalize one of these little ones. In other words, show them how to commit a sin. And he uses the analogy, or he's very dramatic, I should say. It's a metaphor. Better to be hung by one's neck with a millstone around one's neck in the sea than to scandalize one of these children. Now, our Lord is in no way advocating for people to literally have a millstone put on their neck and be drowned. But he's using a very powerful metaphor or imagery to show how tragic it is to show a child how to commit a sin. Now, granted, they're not going to keep that childhood innocence. In its full integrity, they have to grow up. They're going to know that there's good and bad out there. But as long as possible, until they have that maturity and grace to deal with things, they need to be shielded and protected. And this is the great challenge for parents, to shield and protect their children, to help preserve that innocence. We live in an age where there's never more great, there are There have never been so many dangers to innocence. And I'm thinking especially through the electronic medium, movies, TVs, internet, entertainment, music. Never have been there so many dangers. An exhibition of sin. And it's so pervasive, and it reaches at everybody. We live in this electronic age, and so much of it is for the worse. And so parents have to shield children from this. This is why we don't give cell phones out to children, because again, it's like letting children play with loaded guns. We don't want them to be injured and killed. And even older children there have to be safeguards in place for them as they live in this world of electronics. And one of the most important and best things that can be done for children is to make sure that they're reading the lives of the saints. You know, we can't just have a vacuum. There's that great saying, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and need to put these positive things in their lives. Carefully monitor exposure to other things, to things that are in the world. But as I said, share the lives of the saints with children. Read it to them. Make sure there's good spiritual reading books, because that always inspires us when we read about the saints, how they really grew in their love of God. And many of them grew in their holiness from early on in their lives. They were blessed with devout parents. And so I encourage that spiritual reading. You know, spiritual reading puts good thoughts, great ideas in our minds, and it elevates us. Certainly will elevate children. So on this Feast of the Holy Innocents, let us thank God for the gift of life. That is the primary or the initial first right that anybody has, the right to life. And God demands that everyone respect that right. Let us thank God that we have it. Without human life, we would never have had a chance for eternal life. So we thank God for the gift of life. Do what you can to help promote the pro-life movement. Fortunately, in our country, it's fairly strong, but can always get better. And let us inspire our children to a greater love of Him who took on human life in the great mystery of the Incarnation. And we continue to celebrate that most wondrous birthday that happened nearly 2,000 years ago. He came to save us. He came to make us better. He came to show His love in a most dramatic way. And we thank Him for that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.